again, you are listening to Law and Gospel on this Thursday, August the 28th in the year of our Lord, 2014. I'm Tom Baker, your host for this day, and because it's also Ruminations Thursday, we have with us our good friend, Reverend Wes Reimnitz. Hi, Wes.
Hi, Pastor Baker. How are you?
I'm doing very good, and I want to thank you. You've really done a lot of work for me on this one, as we'll be talking about it in a moment. But also, I was just giving some thought that congregations in the Springfield, Illinois area, in light of the fact that you're no longer interim pastor because they called a pastor at that church in Havana, might want you to come in to do some preaching or Bible studies. Would you be willing to give out a phone number so they can reach you?
Well, my public phone number is 217-546-0614, and the calendar is starting to fill up.
Oh, well, yeah, we have Christmas. Oh, you mean your calendar?
My calendar. Oh. It's like they find out you're retired. It says, oh, can you come help?
Well, that's good. That's good. But as in my situation, for example, I've got every Sunday in September filled already, but I've got two still open in October. So
September, see, I said I wasn't going to do anything till the 1st of October. I was just going to take some rest.
No, that's impossible for a pastor.
Yeah.
I got a call from one of our listeners, what we're going to be talking about today. He was taking his grandmother, I think it was, through Walmart, and she had a number of things that she was buying, and a lady came up and paid. I wanted to pay for all of them. And, of course, her son said, no, she doesn't really need them to be paid for. She has sufficient money. And the lady got really kind of angry, saying that, no, he was getting in the way of her blessing, and that she was told by her pastor that they should do this, and then they would be re-rewarded by about 10 times. So he asked if we could talk about this a little bit, and you've done quite a bit of work. I think you sent me 8 emails with this kind of stuff on it, and one of the ones that you sent me was on David Crank, who just so happens to be a pastor of one of the fastest-growing churches in the St. Louis area. So what would you like to start with?
Oh, my goodness. At first, when you contacted me a couple of days ago about this, I thought, I've heard of this too, pay it forward, those kind of things, but this, the more I got to looking at it, as you said, I only sent you 8 emails on it, and that was just the tip of the iceberg, so to speak. It's a very poisonous thing about this. People thinking somehow they get some seed money, and out of that they're going to get a blessing, and God's going to give them money. One of the passages that I ran across was that Mark chapter 10, you know, the rich young ruler.
Yes.
So what must I do to be saved? And Jesus said, go and sell all that you have. And he walked away. He was disappointed. This crank, for one, you know, which fits into some of the things you're talking about, is that God wasn't trying to keep money from us, but he was trying to figure out a way to get money to us. I'd never heard such a thing.
Well, you know, I want to stop on that note, because it is very clear from these people that God is limited in how he can bless you, that unless you meet certain conditions, you're not going to get blessed. And we've had Rick Warren even talk about this in January, that the reason you're not blessed is you're not doing enough good works. And these folks give the impression that, for example, they demand 1/10 of your salary and then say that you will get 10 times back. And then they try and give a song and dance that, well, we're not really doing this to get something for ourselves, when it's very clear that that's exactly why they're doing it.
Yeah, it's a never-ending circle. And I think you hit on a real point there. When do you do enough good works? I mean, boy, you get on that treadmill, you're never going to get off of it.
You know, I have a Facebook, and if anybody wants to look at it, it's facebook.com/PastorTomBaker. That's also the name of my new website, Pastor Tom Baker. And one of the things that I've learned is I'll take a look at one of these individuals and their website. For example, Joel Osteen, who is, of course, a prosperity word of faith teacher. And every time he writes something, it's the very opposite of what the Bible says. Like, he'll even quote a Bible verse, but then he'll make you the center of attention and how God really wants to bless you if you'll only do this or that. So I'm giving some thought of waiting till he puts his Facebook up using the same Bible verse and then, of course, showing the biblical understanding of it rather than the Joel Osteen self-oriented understanding.
Well, there you hit on it. You know, he makes us the center of attention. You, for instance, you go to Ephesians 5:1, and there it says doesn't say we're to be imitators of ourselves.
Yes.
We're to be imitators of God and walk in love just as Christ loved us.
If anybody wants to call on this, perhaps you've had this experience in your church or with your pastor, because this is not just limited to evangelicals. I've heard some Lutheran pastors in giving sermons on stewardship, giving the impression that, yes, you can get more out of life if only you give some more to God. So let's go to our first caller here, and we're going to speak with Jan. Jan, you're on the air.
Good morning, pastors.
Morning.
Morning.
I'm looking at a couple of passages. When 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 19 through 22, and 3 Epistle of John, verse 2. And the reason I'm looking at this is, I think that they have something to say about the distinction that Christians need to make between temporal blessing and...
Well, let me read 1 Thessalonians 5:19-22, where it says, "Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil." Is that the one you were thinking about?
Yes.
Okay, how does that apply to what we're talking about today?
When someone proposes a concept, we know that we are inherently evil. So we must filter everything we hear through what God's word says.
I think that's good. In other words, you're talking about testing the spirits. Would you agree with that, Wes?
Right. Yeah, that's where I was going with it, too.
Yeah.
Now, the 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul." Mm-hmm. How does that fit in?
When we remember that Jesus told us it was Lazarus and not the rich man that went to heaven, I think it should make us more aware of our spiritual health.
Okay, I really appreciate the call. Wes, do you want to respond to any of that?
Yeah, on that second one, it takes me back to the road to Emmaus.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, explain how you mean that.
Well, when she was talking about that, when you talk about to our health and it goes well, Jesus could have shown himself to those two disciples on the Emmaus, but he doesn't. What does he do? He reveals himself through the Moses, the law, and the prophets, through the Holy Scriptures, and that's where he wants to be found. You know, we have that prayer in our liturgy towards the end that we read, learn, and inwardly digest that word that has been given to us. And that's what keeps us spiritually healthy. It's being in the Word, and I think that's where she was going with it.
You know, Rick Warren, a lot of people look up to him with that book that he wrote. But there is so much false teaching in that book from the Saddleback Church. But he hosted Robert Morris, you sent me this, a prosperity preacher, who speaks on the principles of multiplication, where he claims that your money is cursed if you don't give the first 10% of your salary. And then your money is blessed and will multiply if you tithe at least 10%. And Robert Morris at Saddleback Church says this: if you will give me the tithe, I will redeem the rest of your finances out from under the curse. Now, he's trying to quote God, but clearly giving the tithe means to give it to Saddleback Church, and the rest of the finances will be out from under the curse. Isn't that sad how God is so limited that you got to make the first move before he can bless you?
Yeah, I'm sitting here laughing. We could really become a very rich church for a while. You know, as you know, I did stewardship for 17 years in the Central Illinois District as a district exec. And, you know, First of all, you have to realize that any kind of financial stewardship will work. Even a law-based one like that will work for a short period of time.
And why does it work? Why does it work?
Because the law itself is going to your inner being. I'm going to get something if I give something, I'm going to get it back 10 times, you know.
You know, you're really right on it. We need to stop a moment and look at it. The Mormon church is totally based on the law. There's no gospel at all in Mormonism. So in other words, here's how I would say it. You can grow a church a lot faster by just using the law, because it strokes people's egos and makes them think that they're really going to get something good in this life. Forgetting the Bible verse that Paul says, if for this life only you have hope, you will be of all people most miserable.
Right. And you hit on it, but that's not just only the Christian religion, that's any religion.
Every religion outside of Christianity is a religion of law. You do this, you think this, you say this, you pray this, you sacrifice this, you give an offering. Then God, perhaps, will begin to like you, then he will love you, and then maybe even save you. But there's very little assurance in any of these, because nobody knows whether they're doing enough.
And therein lies where I said earlier, this stuff that we're looking at is very poisonous, because it leads us into thinking that we can somehow give a little, get a lot, and it takes us away from really what the message of Christ is all about, is love,
right,
and forgiveness.
Our numbers here are in the St. Louis area, 821-0850, toll-free 1-800-730-2727. And it's so easy to fall into law orientation. People think they'll get more blessings because they're going to come to church. What you need to realize, from particularly a Lutheran point of view in thinking about Christianity, is that God is going to bless his children regardless of their behavior. Just like a proper parent gives blessings to the children regardless of whether they're disobedient or not. Am I correct on that?
Right. We feed our kids, we take care of them, and in spite of sometimes the way they act, we don't kick them out of the house.
And it's terrible how some pastors are giving a view of God that is worse than a sinful parent.
It sucks all the joy out of really giving, because really, when I say it takes all the joy out of giving and takes it away, is we teach that we give in respect to what Christ has done for us, and that's out of 2 Corinthians chapter 8.
Yes, precisely. And in fact, it's something that we really need to kind of keep in mind here. Okay, we're going to go back to the phone lines here, it looks like. And let me just go ahead and see if that person is on. Hi, you're on the air. I'm Pastor Baker.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, Pastor Tom.
Yes, go ahead. You're on the air. Do you have your radio on?
I do. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I wanted to ask a question. When someone blesses us or they say they pay for something that we have, or, you know, if we're standing in line and they pay for something, or if they give us money and they say, I want you to have the blessing, how should we respond to that?
What would you say, Wes?
The old Adam in me says, I'll take it.
Yeah, me too.
me too.
But because we're pastors, we're going to ask why they're doing this. And as soon as we hear that they think they're going to get more of a blessing, it would be interesting. I would probably at first refuse this, because you don't really know what's going on here, and see what kind of attitude they have. And if their attitude is one of getting angry at you, this shows that they're really not motivated by love for Jesus Christ, and that they're therefore motivated, what am I going to get out of it?
You know, a good story to look at is Abraham, Melchizedek, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, these other kings came from afar and took Lot and the various kings, Sodom and Gomorrah, and when they come back, Melchizedek comes. And Abraham makes a offering to Melchizedek, and kings of Sodom and Gomorrah says, hey, we want a piece of the action. Of course, I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
But Abraham turns them down. He gives them his own gift.
You know, one of the things that we always try and do is get our people to witness at proper opportunities. And it would seem to me that if somebody was giving me or paying for my groceries or whatever it was, this is a wonderful opportunity to ask them why they're doing it, and I guarantee you they will have a wrong biblical reason, which gives us the opportunity to share, well, my God, as I understand him from the Christian Bible, is quite different. I am going to get blessed regardless of whether I pay for somebody else's groceries. In fact, God treats me like a child, that even when my child is disobedient, the discipline I give to him is also a blessing in order to help him to see that that is wrong. So I'm in a no-lose situation, that God continues to bless me regardless of my behavior. Because of Jesus Christ, he has forgiven my sins. So that's how I would kind of do it.
Could it be construed as not being a good steward, since you're blessing people at random to get something?
Well, there we go to Wes on talking about being a good steward. Wes?
Yeah, you bless them at random. No, I understand what you're talking about. I would sit down with them, and Tom, Pastor Tom, just really hit the nail on the head. We point them to Jesus and where our gifts come from. And good stewards, you know, I give to the church that I belong to, because I know in their budget they've got a blessing that they're going to hand out to the poor. They've got a poor fund that they operate, as well as many other things. Or
have a food bank?
We just finished a food bank when I finished up at St. Paul's Havana, and our goal was 500
to get a lot
items.
More blessings from God.
No, we didn't figure we were going to get any more than what God's already given to us, which is his grace and forgiveness. But we didn't do it because we were going to get a blessing. We did it because it's out of the love that we have for our Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us, and he's told us to love one another.
Well, part of our church is not only witness and fellowship, but mercy. And God doesn't need our good works, but our neighbor does. But one cannot say that God is going to bless us. For example, in the material that you gave me, what happens when somebody does get give a tenth to the church, and then nothing happens? Well, what do they say is the problem?
Well, they didn't have enough faith.
Exactly. So you see, faith is really the cause of all your blessings rather than Jesus.
Right.
Well, when they say they don't have enough faith, they mean not faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, but confidence that they can achieve this if they only do what God expects them to do. And, of course, they're hearing this from false preachers.
I would agree with you. You know, back to that caller when he's being good stewards, you know, one of the things that our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod does is Lutheran World Relief, where, you know, we find these areas that we reach out into. That, I think, is being a good steward.
Anything else, caller?
Yeah, there was just one more thing. I recently went to a church, a mega church, non-denominational, and the pastor made the comment that when the time came for offering, that by giving something to God, regardless of your ability, was a testimony of your faith to plant the seeds of faith so that God could further bless you. And yeah. I knew that was wrong, but I guess I couldn't believe I actually heard that, and I'm unable to articulate exactly why that is so wrong, and maybe you could comment on that too.
Okay, we'll let you go. You can hear us on the radio,
right? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I think this is really a very, very important point, because what we're talking about is that the blessings from God, therefore, are conditional. They're conditional on the basis of what you're doing. And the reason that these pastors are doing it is they're not following the Bible. They're following marketing techniques. That's if General Motors wants to have you buy one car rather than another, they're going to give you all the benefits you're going to have. It's a marketing technique. And then to take that marketing technique and put it over into the spiritual realm, where God now is a used car salesman and only will give you a good deal if you do the things that he says you need to do, namely buy the car, this makes God not only limited in his power, but also he's breaking his promises that he will never leave you nor forsake you. It doesn't say he'll never leave you nor forsake you as long as you give 10% or anything along those lines.
I agree. I would point the caller to our Lutheran confessions and the apology of the Augsburg Confession, Article 24.
Which means a defense, not being defense. Sorry they wrote it,
right.
But a defense of biblical teaching.
And Article 24 talks about worship or the Mass. We call it the Mass, but it's also worship. And it talks about the two types of sacrifice. One is a propitiation, which talks about Christ's suffering and death, his shedding of the blood, the very thing that you've been talking about here, the last 20 minutes, that it's in Christ we find life. And the second type of sacrifice is the offerings of thanksgiving. It's in response to what Jesus has done for us. And that's why we give.
And what they're doing is they're reversing it, making your sacrifice the big thing so that God is no longer limited in his power, but that he can give you blessings.
Very well said. Right to the point.
And that is not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is so against reason that the Pharisees ended up crucifying him because he didn't make any sense. Well, why is he going and actually forgiving sinners and tax collectors, whereas the wonderful Pharisees and scribes are doing all the ceremonial laws, and therefore they should be the ones getting the blessing, not those sinners, so to speak?
But there again, it's work versus trusting in the promises that Christ has died for us. And they look to Christ for forgiveness, and that he would give it through his shedding of his blood and his sacrifices for us.
This is a real problem with Lutheranism, is that when you're a Lutheran, you get into a mindset of law and gospel. The Holy Spirit does that. And then a lot of times, the ways of the world, you're really uncomfortable with, but at times you're unaware why you're uncomfortable with them. And that's why we have KFUO, is that trained pastors here are to help you understand why you're uncomfortable with something, giving you God's view on a particular point. In fact, isn't that what every sermon really does, is show people the true reality from God's point of view and apply it to their lives?
Exactly. Yeah, we always talk about that glorious exchange in our baptism where we get our robes of sin taken away and given the robes of righteousness of Christ.
Yes, in the material you sent me, they had a list of these particular Word of Faith teachers or prosperity, including Joel Osteen, Joyce Meyer, David Crank, who is the pastor of one of the fastest growing churches in St. Louis, Paul Crouch, Kenneth Hagin, Marilyn Hickey, Benny Hinn is included in there. And so these are somewhat well-known names like Oral Roberts, T.D. Jakes, and you'll hear them a lot of times, unfortunately, on evangelical radio. And what we're saying to you is the real problem is not really stewardship as it is their view of God, which gives them a wrong view of stewardship.
Right, it takes us away from Jesus, who gives all the blessings and places it on something we've done. It's nothing more than a work righteousness.
Well said. On tomorrow's Law and Gospel, it's open mic, but we're going to continue to take any questions you might have on this. Plus, because of the calls on Wednesday, we were unable to finish Thesis 7 of Walther about how you confuse Law and Gospel by reversing the order, first the Gospel, then the Law. We're going to have some things to say on that also. Would you once more give out your phone number, Pastor Reimnitz, in case anybody's interested in seeing whether you're willing to preach?
217-546-0614. And what's your Facebook address?
Facebook.com/PastorTomBaker. But if you go to just PastorTomBaker.com, guess what? You'll end up also seeing the social media. You can click on them, and that's an easier way. Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Till Friday, Open Mic Friday, I'm Tom Baker. God bless.
KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.